Let's pray. Could we pray together? Lord, I just ask that you would quicken my tongue to speak this morning. The message and vision that you've given us, Lord, that my words would be acceptable in your sight, God, and would convey your heart. I ask for your help now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the context for this talk is that we are heading back to Belize for a third year, and so we need to talk about that, but would you hold my Bible and grip it hard because it's falling apart? So the context is we're going back to Belize for the third year, and so I'll start this and end it by saying the same thing, and that is our invitation to go is your invitation to go, right? But I want to. I've asked Pastor for a few minutes, and he graciously allowed us the time here this morning. And I remember when can you scoot to the right just a little bit? Yeah, no, I'm kind of a pain. I'm high maintenance, yeah. I am going to share, we'll just share a few minutes this morning, take just 10 minutes of your time or something, just want to forewarn you. I want to start by telling you a story. When Karen and I went to the Grand Canyon many years ago, we were driving to the Grand Canyon, and I thought going to the Grand Canyon was going to be like going to Lake of the Ozarks or something. I thought that as we got closer, I'd see part of it. You know, oh, there's a little part of it. And then we'd get closer, and, oh, there's another canyon. And then we'd get there, and we'd see the whole thing. But, you know, it wasn't like that. We go through the gate of the place, and we driving up this road slowly, kind of inclining, and driving, and there's pine trees. And I'm looking. I'm not seeing anything. And we pull into this parking lot, and it says, I guess it said viewing area or something. And we get out of the car, and we go through these pine trees. We're literally like looking for the Grand Canyon, you know. It's kind of weird. And so there's this row of pine trees there, and we step through the row of pine trees, and it's immediately on the other side. You know, it's like we went right over the crest of a hill. And I'll never forget that Karen, as I looked to my right, she was walking, and there was a railing. And I remember her walking like this. And we stood there in silence for a few minutes at the wonder, you know, the wonder. Overwhelmed by this thing so bigger than us, you know. I thought it was going to be a hole in the ground. I didn't even want to go, you know. And I was overwhelmed. We were overwhelmed by this creation, you know, this beyond words, beyond description. You couldn't describe it to someone if you haven't been there. You don't know what I'm talking about. And I looked over at Karen, and there was a single tear rolling down her cheek, you know, like in that old Indian commercial. And you guys remember that? Rick remembers it because he's as old as I am. So I said to her, just spontaneously right then, I looked at her and I said, somebody should really build a theme park here. No, I didn't say that. But we like to build theme parks, don't we? We like to ruin things with our own efforts, you know. We like to try to officialize something and take something God's doing and put our fingerprints on it instead of his, you know. I just got an email from a guy who forwarded me an email. It was from Kurt Warner. This guy gets email updates from Kurt Warner. And I guess because of the connection with Family Church, and this guy went to Family Church. And so Kurt Warner is explaining, he retired in January or February this year, and the football player, you know, MVP, what, went to the Super Bowl how many times? Three times, right? Yeah. Twice, and then once after he was supposed to be washed up. So here's this guy who was stocking shelves at a grocery store, you know, and God picks him up, his testimony. and just blows open these doors, and he becomes an MVP, major player in this, you know, in our city. Wasn't that an awesome season? And or two. And so anyway, he shares in this, I won't go into all he shared, but it's this idea of the theme park, you know. He says, you know, people are asking me, what, you've got a contract next year, it's guaranteed $11 million. Why are you walking away now? It's crazy, you know. And he says, the Lord showed him, he goes into an explanation, and if you want to see the email, see me afterwards and I'll forward it to you, because it's kind of neat if you're a sports guy, but which I'm not, actually. So, but he says, I built our home, you know, not so long ago, and I built a guest house, you know. I mean, the guy's filthy rich. You know? And he says, I built this guest house, and the Lord spoke to me. And he said, you moved me out to the guest house. He said, where are the days where you had to rely on my strength to do things? And Kurt said he would get up at 4:30 a.m., you know, because he needed to make this thing successful, you know. And he'd work out on Sundays instead of fellowshipping with people because he needed, you know, to be successful. He was going to make this thing happen. And he says, I lost. He says, I took on a yoke that wasn't mine, you know. How's our yoke feel this morning, you know? When the yoke is the Lord's, it's easy, right? And so he said, the Lord said, how's that yoke feel, man? You know? So it's like Kurt said, when they said, do you want the $11 million next year? He said, no, thanks. And in my mind, it's like he's saying, I'm not here for the theme park, folks. I'm not here for the theme park. So I want to talk to you about our call to Belize. I want to give you the proper context. And it would be more appropriate if our kids were here, but we're not going to share anything our kids don't know. This kind of expanded this morning as I was praying about it. Hi, Steve. A call, you know, a call from the Lord, and this is about Belize. To me, a call is like a, it's kind of like a, I don't know if you understand what I'm saying, but it's kind of like God forms a question in us, and then he answers the question. That's kind of how I look at it. It's kind of weird. You know, he creates a wanting in us. He creates a question, and then he's the one who answers the question. It's a beautiful thing when it happens. And the principles of a call that you guys probably know, or that as you guys that have done experiencing God, has anybody done? Some people are doing it right now, aren't you? Yeah, so awesome, you know, concept. God is at work already, you know, and he invites us to join him. I love that, you know. And so that's a principle of the call. It's a call to explore the canyon, not build a theme park, you know. It's his canyon. Who could say they ever own the canyon? Who could ever say they know the canyon? No, but you could own the piece of real estate the Grand Canyon's on, but does that mean you'd own the Grand Canyon? I say no. You couldn't own the Grand Canyon. And so he calls us to be explorer. You know, we get to explore part of the canyon, you know. And he takes us in different directions, you know, and depending on our call. And so he invites us. He says, I'm working over here. And I want you to join me, and that's exciting. And a call to one is a call to several. A call to one is a call to several. And so that's one of the major reasons why we're standing here right now, and that is we're called to Belize. And that means some of you are called more than others, and some already are. Justice, Steve Inman, there's others, Hannah. So there's a group of people that get a call. You know, when God spoke in Revelation, he spoke to the churches, each one of them. And when he spoke to them, he was speaking to them in entirety, right? And so he speaks with one voice to a church. And so when he's speaking to us and we get a call, he's speaking to all of us, right? So when we have a ministry to the poor here, which we do, that's some of, we're all involved in that to some degree, some, a whole lot. But all of us know about it and are called to be a part of that. So when he calls one, he calls several. And so, and a call to those people is a call for the church to support in prayer, and if you're rich like Rick, to give some money. So, and I appreciate your time, and I want to thank Dave for allowing me this time this morning. I want to read to you, and I'm headed somewhere with this, out of my journal from last summer. So we went 3 years ago this summer. Then we went back again last year, and I was praying, you know, Lord, what is it that? 2 years ago this summer, mathematician. Thank you. Third time, 2 years ago. Okay. So anyway, at the end of our time in Belize last summer, we were asked by Praying Pelican, the mission group we were with, to write down our vision for where we would be 5 years from now. It's kind of a cool thing to do. So I just want to read you what I wrote on July 10th. And I wrote at the top, five-year plan, July 10th, 2014. And there's a pastor that we worked with down there named Raul. My dear friend, Raul. Hello, brother, I miss you. The last few months have been great. I will say the visit has been both bitter and sweet. Sweet seeing friends, but bitter being away from home. I long for our return to our real home, if you know what I mean. Can you believe what God's done over the past 5 years? Would anyone have predicted the expansion of the churches in the north part of Belize like we've seen it? When I ponder that Juice, one of the guys there, a new convert, when I ponder that Juice alone has led other young men in the establishment of three healthy village churches, it amazes me, much less the other people we've seen raised up. I received your email about the Guatemala mission, and yes, I agree that Juice is a good man to co-lead that effort. And I think that I'm ready to spend our summer there as well. I've worked on my Spanish a little bit. Karen sends her love to you and Nadia. Please do me a favor and drop by our place and make sure the interns are watering the plants and the dogs being fed. We'll see you next Sunday upon our return home, and I look forward to our prayer time that Monday. Love, Rob. And so that gives you an idea of what was stirring in my heart last summer. And I say my heart because Karen wasn't there last summer. She was here there the year before. But that letter shares Karen's heart. You know, this year has been, now we're getting into it. This is the detail. This year's been a time of a lot of prayer, and I've had a lot of time for prayer because I've been laid off. Truthfully, it's true. And so that sort of culminated in January, I guess. I called Praying Pelican, one of the guys, my contact, Mike, and I said, Mike, we were talking about this Belize short-term trip, and I said, I just want to share with you, Karen and I, our heart for Belize in general, just this, because you guys go there, you've got a heart for Belize, and so I just want to share what's going on, you know. And so I shared that I said, Mike, we I want you to understand, because I need your help. I need to understand Belize better. We need to find out how God is calling us, because Mike, this is a lifelong call that this is the question that's been answered in us, and so we want you to know we're going to spend the rest of our lives working with Belizeans. That's our call. We know that that's our call, and I said, so we've even talked about moving there, you know, Mike, and so he listens to all this and listens, and he's like, wow, you know, he says, and he kind of talks like this. He's like, so 2 weeks ago we had the president of Praying Pelican had a vision meeting, and in the meeting, unbeknownst to me, he shared that we want to have a couple living in Belize. And we need this couple to coordinate everything on the ground in Belize. And he said, and you and Karen are the first people I thought of. So isn't that awesome? So here I am just laying out our heart for Belize. He answers, they've got a vision for somebody to live there. So anyway, that's ensued with some quick action on their part. And I'll tell you that the week prior to talking to Mike, I just was, you ever feel like you pray something and you feel like the Lord's giving you the words to pray it, you know? It's like he's telling you to pray it. It's that invitation. He invites you to pray something he already knows. And so I kept, for a week, I was praying, Lord, move swiftly, you know? Move swiftly. And here, a week later, I get this guy saying, we need somebody to be in Belize. And so So the brass tacks of that is we're taking a group back this summer for a week, and so you're invited to be a part of that, and it's not too late to be a part of that. And so maybe you would do that. Maybe you've got some choices in your life, and maybe if I can be so bold, maybe you've got some theme park stuff going on, and you need to stop that, and you need to invest a little bit in a trip, you know. And so, you know, it's a lot of money to go down there, I guess. But what would you pay for a day in the courts of the Lord, you know? If God's calling you to do it, I mean, would anything stand in your way? Would you let finances stand in your way? God forbid. You know, God will raise the funds if you're supposed to go. So if God's stirring your heart, we invite you to go with us. So just a few more things about this call. I don't think it's a coincidence that last year, before going down, having been stirred the first year, I was in prayer about where to go to start with, and we went to Belize. Then the second year, I was like, Lord, show us what's going on in Belize, you know, and marry us up, you know. And we went to a village, you know, and had this profound experience of people getting saved and young men. It's just unbelievable. But the name of that village is Libertad, which means liberty. You know, is that a coincidence? You know, so Steve could read his letter or his journal, and it would sound very similar. It had a little different slant to it, you know. But I know that his heart is married to Belize as well, and just to share another story, you know, why I just trying to make the case, you know. The Proverbs 31, it talks about the woman who goes to the market, and she's like, you know, she's like, buy mine, you know, buy mine, you know. I don't think she's there saying, you know, well, hers is good too, you know. So I'm not here talking about other ministries, you know. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on, but I want to emphasize why I'm excited about this mission, you know. Of course I'm going to be, because we're called to it. So, but right before going on the trip, I felt like the Lord had spoken to me through like a word of knowledge, and he'd given me this just sentence, and the sentence was that Belize is the key to Central America. I mean, it was profound. I felt that very strongly. And so I had shared that with Steve one night, and then the next day we're standing in Libertad, in the village of Liberty, and a woman comes up with the pastor's wife. She gets out of the car. She's an American. And I, as God is my witness, I look at this woman and I say to myself, this woman has got the Holy Spirit that's just like filling her. I don't know what's going on here, but Jesus is in this lady, you know. And she gets up and she's talking to us for a few minutes, and then she gets real demonstrative. She like stops and she looks at Steve and I, and she says, I want to tell you gentlemen something, and I feel like the Lord is telling me I need to tell you this. She says, the Lord has showed me that Belize is the key to Central America. Then she said, Steve, she said, and basically what she said was, the ground we're standing on is the beachhead. That's what she said. She had more specifics than I had. So she's like, this north area of Belize, this is where it's at. You know. So I don't know what that means, guys. I just know the Lord's in it. And I, when I picture Belize, I picture an unusual place in Central America, because it is an unusual place, and I picture missionaries going out from Belize. That's what I picture. And I'll end with this. The people of Belize, it's like you're looking at that canyon, you know, and there's a, all of a sudden you look down, and standing next to you, you know, the ghost of Christmas present when the kids come out from underneath his robe. Standing next to you is one of those kids, you know. And he's just standing there, but this kid is full of a certain kind of joy and true humility. He's not needy in that. He's needy in every other way. And your heart says, this poor child, you know, I want to clothe this child. I want to feed this child. I want to see this child nurtured up. And the kid has a crumb in his hand, and he reaches up with full of joy and humility and in sincerity, and he says, "Do you want it? You can have it." And that's the people of Belize. That's what they're like. But they're not okay. And the thing that they need is sound teaching. They need to be brought up in the faith, in the particulars of the faith. Do you know a church that maybe specializes in teaching? Does anybody know? So I think there's a connection here. So that's it. Well, let me read one thing. In the military, we had a term.
You were in the military, weren't you?
Yeah. 3 days and a wake up. You know that term? I blinked my eyes. Graduated college. I blinked my eyes. Got 3 kids. I blinked my eyes. My kids are about to leave the house. And I'll blink my eyes and I'll see the Lord. Time is short. Time is short. But it's not too short. That picture at the end of Schindler's List, if you saw the movie, and he says, he looks at the car and he says, "The car. I should have sold the car." It's too late for him then. It's not too late for us. It's not too late to sell the car. God, willing, I might have 30 years left on this earth. That seems like a short time to me, but my son's 15. That's 15. He'll be 45. That's a long time. God can do a lot in a relatively short time. I feel compelled to read you this passage. And you know the passage. But do we know it? "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his splendor was not dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, Oh, you of little faith? So don't worry, child, saying, 'What will I eat? What will I drink? What will I wear?' The pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows what you need. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Thanks for listening, guys. Love you guys.
Stay up here. Let me stay there for a couple minutes. The prettiest part of the team didn't get to say anything, so I'm not gonna let her get off the stage, because I know that there's a big heart in here, too. So. I'm sure you could just say amen to that, but...
Amen? Does that work? Yeah, I didn't know I was even going to come stand up here. He said, "Oh, you're going with me." And I'm like, oh. just appreciate your prayers as we move forward with this. I'm excited that I get to go back this year for 2 weeks. And we've had a lot of struggles this year. Just good struggles and bad struggles. You know what, Rob, out of work. I went back to work full-time after homeschooling for years and years, and I really miss my kids, and it's been a big adjustment. But God has been very faithful to continually show me that we are on the right path, that we are doing what we need to do. And I got a long drive every morning to work, and I listen to worship music and I pray, and there's this one hill on Highway 70. It's kind of close to the airport. That's sort of funny. I don't think I really thought about that. Where I feel like the Lord usually breaks through and speaks to me. And one day it was raining, and I was very upset and frustrated. The job is stressful. I miss my kids. I could, you know, I'm listing all these things. My parents need me, blah, 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 blah. And here I am on the way to this place to work way more than 8 hours today, and I was pretty stressed out. And he spoke to me on that hill, and he said, this is not about you. This is just really not about you. And this is about the kingdom of God. You are going to work today for the kingdom of God, even though it's at Express Scripts. But
remember that, Sean.
Yeah,
remember
Sean.
That, Sean.
Woo-hoo.
You're going to work in the kingdom tomorrow, brother.
And the funny thing was, I was really, really, really sick of the rain. It had been raining for days, and you know how old that gets to drive in the rain, over and over, day after day, you're exhausted. And it was just that time of the year in October when it rained almost every day when I was driving. And I said, I'm really, really sick of the rain. And he's like, well, it's raining in Belize. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess I better get used to the rain. So some days I just say, well, you know, somewhere my heart is in the rain in Belize. I know it is, with the Lord and what he has planned for that country, for those people, for that pastor you saw, and the many, many more that are there. And eventually I'll be standing in the rain. So... thanks for your prayers. I appreciate it.
That's good. The one question for Rob is one that I was sharing with Rob earlier when we were talking about the call that they are feeling. And when Rob and Steve and Tim and some others came back from Belize last year, there was conversations about, I think, a vision for more than, okay, let's go down a couple of weeks and build a house or pass out tracts. But, you know, the term you used was beachhead, send out missionaries, words like orphanage, Bible college. I mean, share a little bit more about how you think God, you know, that kind of stuff, because there's talk of that down there.
Yeah, the exciting thing is this job, if you will, that Pelican needs done is... essentially having somebody on the ground coordinating all of the resources, as you might imagine, for 16 trips a year, 20 trips a year. It's a lot of activity. That's 16 weeks, 20 weeks. So a big chunk of it is doing all the groundwork, the coordination and the logistics, which I've got, you know, a lot of background in that kind of stuff. So it's not a teaching job or something. You know, it's kind of neat how God works. It's something I can do. And that's good. But the neat thing is that they've got a really cool heart, and it's really an open book on all the other stuff. So immediately out of Jason's mouth, who's with Praying Pelican, he said, you know, what if we had a national conference for the pastors? They don't ever get together, get all these guys together, determine the needs for Belize. And I'll tell you, If I was to paint a picture of the needs, I could get Steve up here and Justice and anybody else that's been there, and we could just start whiteboarding this, you know, and we could start prioritizing, because the needs are all over the place, you know. I mean, it's just everything. You name it, okay? Church buildings, yes, you know. I mean, we were in a lean-to. Schools and schooling for the kids there, yes. Parochial schooling, private schooling would be awesome. Bible college, yes. The only thing I heard going on was way in the south of Belize. This guy gets radically saved and had been working with the pastor for a little while, and his plan was to send him to the south of Belize for 3 years for training. No, that ain't going to work, you know. We got to get something where he's getting trained alongside you, and maybe he's going into Belize City and you know, for the summers or something, and then we get him back out. We can't, you know, you can't do that. So So, yeah.
Well, what's exciting to me about this is that I think, you know, as the Lord unfolds this, what's exciting to me is that we're talking about the opportunity of this community, not just, oh, I'll go this summer for a week, but really a real partnership. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see Pastor Lloyd standing here talking to you guys in the future, literally, yeah.
Right.
And exactly. The fellow that you guys saw, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's you know, we could really partner in a way long-term. I mean, you're talking about multi-generational kind of stuff, you know. So it's very exciting to me, the thought of working closely with people on the ground who you know. Because, you know, we've had other experiences where we worked with people on the ground, but we didn't know, and it didn't quite, you know, what was happening on the ground wasn't exactly what was an accurate report, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah, so the job entails working with pastors from all around the country, you know. And so it's just it's such an opportunity to be immersed in what's going on and see the needs. And that's what's exciting about it. And in truth, I really do believe it's a stepping stone to these other things. I really believe that. So even for us, it's an opportunity to serve Praying Pelican and get a view on the ground and then grow things and then I think go on and do some other stuff too, you know. So yeah.
Right. Now who do we know? You gave out the details for this summer's trip?
July 16th to the 24th.
Okay.
And we need to get deposits in, but there's enough people going now to build an initial deposit, so there's a little bit more time than what it says on the flyers there, a few more weeks.
Now, who knows that they're going already? Raise your hand. Steve, Justice.
Oh, not many people.
Hannah, you're going, right?
Oh, who knows that they're going? I thought you meant who in the church knows about the trip.
Some people already know that they're going. Some people already know. They're already decided they're going. So just Steve, Justice, Hannah, Dan, okay. So they already know they're going. And who else?
I'm picking on Jada.
Ah, Jada. Whoa. Jada's
yeah,
put on
I think
spot.
There was about 10 people, two of which were from the awesome church, Eureka Methodist, that went with us last year. Unbelievable people. Boy, we need to get Mary up here to talk to you guys. But unbelievable woman of God. Yeah, we just had a wonderful time with them. And that's a marriage that needs to be gelled a little bit, I think. It's
right,
a really neat
right.
community. Yeah.
And so you're inviting whomever. I mean, beyond
Absolutely,
the people
yeah.
that already know, if other people want to go, and they can contact you or they can contact Greg. Greg's the mission instructor. Does anybody have any questions for Rob or Karen about anything that they've shared? Anything about Belize or past, future? And this current trip, you want to ask?
Well, thanks for your time. And I'll be down there for 4 weeks this year, and Karen will come down for 2 weeks in the middle of that. So we're getting kind of our feet wet. And
literally get your feet wet, right, Karen?
Right.
Because it rains a lot in Belize.
So we're targeting 2 years from this summer we'd be on the ground full time. That's kind of the timing, so you have
right.
an idea. So.
Awesome. Very cool. All right. I'm just going to share a few words, and then we're going to take the Lord's Supper. Open your Bibles to the Gospel of John. And I'll give you an introduction to my sermon. And I'll give the sermon next week. How's that? All right, so now you got to come back and got to get the real deal. but in a way, this passage ties in with the Lord's Supper, because in John 6, this is where Jesus calls himself the bread of life, the true bread, the living bread. And today we're going to break bread. And of course, we know what the bread symbolizes. It symbolizes the Lord himself. Amen? We won't read the whole passage because of time. Next week, we'll dig into it and talk more about it. But I want to read a few verses here. Jesus in verse 32 of John chapter 6. Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven," referring to the manna, "but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And then Jesus said to them, "Lord, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." When you read the context of this passage, the broader context here is the fact that Jesus, a day before, had fed the multitudes. And he had literally multiplied bread. And he fed hungry people. Then he crossed over to the other side of the city on a boat. They look for him. They can't find him. Eventually, the next day, they find him. And they're following Jesus. And Jesus looks at them and says, "You're following me for the bread. I gave you bread, and you're coming back for more bread." In other words, you're seeking me, but you're seeking the wrong thing. You're seeking the natural bread. And Jesus, what permeates this whole passage, is his attempt to get their minds off of the natural and onto the spiritual. Stop looking at things in a purely natural way and turn your focus on the spiritual things. Don't look at the natural bread, but rather look at the spiritual bread, the bread from heaven. And then he goes on, and the Jews here say, "Well, if you're the Messiah, what are you going to do to prove it?" Well, he'd already fed the multitude. He'd already proved it, you know. But, you know, they're just, not to be insulting, but they're just obtuse. They're just not getting it. So they said, "Well, you know, Moses did this. Moses gave manna." In other words, Moses had credentials. That's what they're saying. Look what Moses did. And they're always trying to pit Moses against Jesus all throughout the Gospels. And so they bring up the manna, and that's why Jesus then begins to talk about the manna. And next week we're going to look at how Jesus is like the manna and how he's not like the manna. And he says, "Okay, actually, Moses didn't give you the manna. My Father did. But my Father is giving you something better than the manna. He's giving you the bread from heaven." The manna was earthly. The bread from heaven is spiritual. And that bread was himself. It was himself. The thing I want to say today, and this is just a prelude to really getting into this passage, is this. Is that and I'm talking to Christians. We Christians can seek the Lord for the wrong things. And in that sense, we're not seeking the Lord. We're seeking something from the Lord. You understand the difference? You can seek the gifts and not the giver. You know, hard times financially, many of you are struggling. I understand that. You go to the Lord, "Lord, I need provision. Lord, I need a job. Lord, I have a job, but I need more money. Lord, I need this. I need that." You may have relational challenges. "Lord, I need this. Lord, I need that." You can have physical challenges. "Lord, I need this. I need that." You know, you need all those things. And there's a biblical warrant for asking for things from God because there are promises in God's word. But the thing I want you to understand is that the situations that we're in that drive us to ask, those situations are permitted in our lives to drive us to Him.
Amen. That's right.
When those situations drive me to God and I say, "God, I need you to fix this situation," I may have a biblical warrant to pray that prayer. I may have a promise in the Word to pray that prayer. And that's good. Claim the promise, man. Believe God's word, amen? But there's something deeper and better and richer than just getting an answer to your prayer, and that is meeting the one who answers prayer. And as the Christian life is orchestrated by God in such a way that we go through challenges, and I don't know about you, but I keep on telling the Lord, when do I get to relax? When does this get easy? When did the trial stop? And he says, never. Because if it got easy, I would not seek him. And it's a sad commentary, not on him, it's a sad commentary on us, that it takes those challenges to drive us to him. But you see, just like the Jews, as long as he's given us bread, we're happy. Give me the bread. And so we have our creature comforts, and we have our job security, and we have our tolerable marriage, and we have this. And we're fine. But man, God takes those things away. He shakes up your marriage. You lose your work. Your health is not well. He begins to move those props in your life. And then we find out what we're leaning on. And I do it as much as anybody else. And I'm not leaning on the Lord like I ought to be. And so I've got to go to him. I have got to go to him. But I need more than bread. I need more than God just providing some money. I need more than God just fixing my marriage. I need God. That's what I need. We need Jesus. And I'm not saying these other things aren't important. I'm not saying they shouldn't be prayed about. But for us to seek answers only, and not the one who answers. For us to seek provision only, and not the one who provides, is the greatest blessing of all. Because eternal life is knowing the Father through the Son. And that is the abundant life. Amen. So as we take the bread today and drink the wine, let us commit ourselves again to seeking the bread of heaven, not the earthly bread. Seek the one who brings true fulfillment and true satisfaction. Amen? At our marriage conference, a family conference, we had this weekend, Friday night and Saturday day, the Covenant Family Conference. Rick and Gina shared, and one of the things Gina said, which was, it's like, that's it. She said, you know, we've been going through financial struggles and this and that, and don't have this, don't have that. But she said, I am rich. You can be living in rags. You can be in a tent in Belize, and you can be rich. Because you have the true riches. The abundant life is not a life full of things. It's a life full of God. And that's what these elements symbolize. Taking the Lord Jesus, embracing the Lord Jesus, living on the Lord Jesus, being sustained by the Lord Jesus. I don't want anything I've said to imply that I'm not sympathetic to your need or I'm not compassionate toward your struggle. I'll do anything in my power to help you. But I can assure you of this. God wants to use your situation to show you more of him. More of him. So seek him. Seek him. And as we take these elements, let this be a physical expression of your desire for Him, the only one that can truly satisfy. Amen?
Amen.
Father, we thank You for the gift of Your Son, the bread of life, the true bread that came down from heaven. And we thank You that He feeds our souls, He satisfies our deepest desires. And I pray, God, that Your people would seek not just the things You give, but they would seek You. And I pray, Lord, that as each one of us walks with You, we would hear Your voice calling. Just as You've spoken to Rob and Karen, they're hearing Your voice. They're hearing the call. I pray that each one of us, in whatever our situation, whatever our trial, we would hear that voice which calls us not simply to do, but that calls us to come and feed, to come and abide. And as we take the elements, Lord, bless them to our soul. Renew our faith, strengthen us, and sustain us in our hearts, because You are the bread of life. We pray in Your name. Amen.